Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
All right. Welcome back, everybody. It's 8:40 right now. It is an honor to have on the show the TV voice of the Philadelphia 76ers, Mark Zumoff, with some great memories of Kobe Bryant. How you doing, Mark?
Ange, I'm okay, considering. How are you?
Mark, is it sunk in yet? I'm really having a hard time accepting it even now.
You know, I'll be honest with you. I woke up about an hour ago, and I don't know what I woke up from. It was a fitful night of sleep. I really didn't sleep that well. I've been thinking about it a lot. It's something that's preoccupied me ever since I heard the news, and it's one of those things that you never get over. You just hope that at some point you can compartmentalize it in your life and move on. But I enjoyed my association with him. I certainly admired him from afar. I certainly wish he had done it in red, white, and blue, what he did. But he had an awesome career. And the one thing that I try to remember that I think a lot of people forget is that he was one of us. He spent a lot of his time in Philly. If you saw our coverage last night on NBC Sports Philadelphia, Mark Jackson choking back tears was recalling what it was like for him to be associated with Kobe Bryant as he was coming up in the Philadelphia basketball community. In fact, for those who may not have seen it, he told some really good stories about Kobe. One in particular where Kobe was 12 years old and he was already focused on having a long basketball career. They worked out together. Mark, I think, was a few years older. He was 15. And after the workout with John Hartnett, who was a great late basketball aficionado and developer of talent in the Philadelphia area, a 12-year-old Kobe Bryant was icing his knees. And Mark said, you know, what are you doing? You're 12 years old. You're icing your knees. And Kobe said, well, I plan on having a very long basketball career, which he certainly did.
He sure did. Mark, could you tell us how your association with Kobe Bryant began? I guess it was 01?
Well, it was my second year, so it was actually his rookie year. It was 1996, and I'd not met him. I certainly knew the high school legend, but we never met face-to-face, so I made it a point to go to the Laker locker room at the Forum, and fortunately, he had known me from my days at Prism doing the halftimes and my first couple of years as the play-by-play guy. And we started to chat and get to know one another, and I just happened to mention to him that I was looking for a couple of tickets for the game. And all of a sudden, he looked at me wide-eyed and said, I'll be right back. And whoosh, he goes out of the locker room, and about a minute or two later, comes back with a couple of tickets for me for the game.
Wow. And he didn't even know you at that point, other than having seen you on Prism.
Well, and it's hard. I think today about players and, you know, how preoccupied they are and what they have to do pregame. And while I love all our guys and I love the NBA players that I cover, I could imagine maybe a player calling over a PR guy or something like that, or seeking out some help in order to maybe help me get a couple of tickets. But to actually go and physically seek out two tickets before a game, and remember, he was a rookie. He was just trying to find his way in the NBA was a special memory for me.
01. Billy has given us some great stories about his rivalry with Allen and that kind of thing. But he did say publicly, Mark, that he was going to cut our hearts out. Is that where the contentious relationship really started with Philadelphia?
You know, I think that a lot of us were jealous because Kobe was a Lower Merion High School product.
Yes.
And we all would have wanted him to cut out the heart of the opponent as a member of the 76ers. So I think there was a little bit of jealousy. And I'm old enough to remember in the late 70s when we all hated Pete Rose as a member of the Cincinnati Reds. And then suddenly he signed as a free agent with the Phillies, and we were all in love with Pete Rose. But listen, if anybody has time, and in fact, I was on last night with Rob Ellis, and he played the clip Go to YouTube and find Kobe in the last seconds of Super Bowl 52. He was doing exactly what we were doing. He's clutching his infant daughter, and he's watching Tom Brady, who's pulled out a miracle or 15 in his life, throw that final pass. And he's going, no, 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 no. And then suddenly he sees the ball fall on the ground. The clock shows all zeros. And he was, like all of us, just incredulous, trying to come to grips with the fact that the Eagles actually won the Super Bowl.
We actually have it. Mark, thank you for cueing me. Mark is so good.
He's a
pro.
He
could do this show, too. Here's the actual audio that Mark is referencing here.
No, 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 no. Oh, thank God. Oh, my God. Yes, we won. That's it. That's it. That's it. That's it. Oh, my God. Yeah, oh, my God.
Wow, Mark, that's a part of Kobe we never saw as an opponent.
And by the way, and it's like the rest of us, he was saying, we won the bleeping Super Bowl. We won the bleeping Super Bowl.
That's awesome. All right, Mark, I need you to rank for me, of all the great players you have seen and broadcast about, where would you place Kobe?
That's a great question, Ange, and I'd have to put pen to paper, I think, and really examine it to give you an honest answer. But I think you could easily say top 10 and on the list of the number of people, top 5. And I think the thing that puts him in the top 5 is the fact that he won 5 titles, I think. And he won it essentially in 2 different eras. It was first the Shaq era, the team, of course, that beat the Sixers. And then again later with Pau Gasol. So, he was a winner. He was great. And he's like Michael Jordan in many respects, including the fact that we all were fortunate enough to see someone who was born with the innate ability to be great and the tenacity and the mental fortitude to make himself great. So while he did it with the Lakers and he did it for 20 years, I think we should all be proud of the fact that he was one of us and he did it oh so well.
Mark, last thing. What do you remember about his final game in Philadelphia?
Well, I'll tell you what, the thing that first of all, I think it was a 10-win team, but I think we won that game. So, in fact, it could have been our first victory of the season, because I think it was like December 1st. We had gone like 0-17 or 0-18, but I remember I was with my boss, Sean Alexiak, from NBC Sports Philadelphia, and you know, we both admired and seen Kobe many times as professionals and as fans throughout the years. And we said, you know what, let's go backstage and just check out the mob scene, just thinking that we wouldn't have an opportunity to even get close to him. Well, lo and behold, even though the hallways were packed, he made it a point to at least spend a few moments looking people directly in the eyes, smiling, exchanging warm greetings. And fortunately, Sean and I were part of that. And it was a terrific moment, one that I will remember for a long time.
Mark, you're a Philadelphia treasure, my friend. Thank you so much for doing this for us today.
My pleasure, guys. Anytime.
Mark Zumoff, the TV voice of the Philadelphia 76ers. Al, somebody who knew Kobe was Mr. Big Rube.
Oh,
right?
Yeah.
Big Rube, you knew Kobe, right?
Yes. I'll go back a long time. I'm just waking up like an hour ago, like how Mark said, I was drinking, you know, Jameson and Yingling, just trying to come to grips to it. I'm really shattered right now.
Yeah, you sound. I've never heard you like this, Rube. Not one time.
Yeah, I mean, the fact that like my guy Suleiman, it was his teammate at Lower Merion, brought him to Headington. I gave him my first water ice when I was vending out there, and we got a bond. We used to go to Sixers games together, and I remember, you know, watching Stackhouse and everything. And then, you know, the next year, the Core States Open, and I'm watching him, you know, being with him and his dad out in Vegas. Randall Cunningham, we all used to hang out together. And, you know, and the last time I actually physically saw him was when they renamed the gym after him, and I was right there in the first row. And I remember people calling me, seeing me on the news. It's like, yo, you was with Kobe. I'm like, you know, in this social media era, like, that was my friend. Like, I did a draft party for him at the YMCA on 52nd and Chestnut. I'm pulling up, and, you know, Billy would know this in our culture. He had the Lexus Land Cruiser, you know what I mean?
And, how did you find out? Rube, how did you find out?
Oh, man, I was at my pop-up, and one of the barbacks came. He said, yo, Kobe, and I'm thinking this fake news, and I had to go, you know, Google it for myself, and it was just, I had to medicate myself with liquor.
Yeah.
From there, and that was like something after three, and it, like, I mean, everything was just, you know, and then all the screen, every news channel, everything was just coming to grips. I'm like, I knew, you know, that was my guy. Like, you know, it's just like he's bringing it back like Rasul Butler. You know what I mean? There's another guy, right? Like, and they was, you know, I'm 5-6 years old, these guys. And, you know, like I always say, I raised these guys. You know what I mean? They was with me in the beginning, especially, like, you know, Kobe, he had my water ice. And it was that bond just went from there. And we was just, we were, and, you know, making his jersey, his dad. Remember, he was on the cover of Philly Mag, and his dad, he wore his dad jersey on the cover. So that was a special order. You know what I mean? We put that together on the cover of Philly Magazine and, you know, all that. I had a personal, you know, stake in seeing his greatness. And it, I don't know how I'm going to get through this.
I understand, Rube. I wish you well, man. Thank you for sharing that with us. Al, I want to ask you a question. In fact, I want to ask all you guys a question. Do you get on small planes?
Yeah.
Do you get on helicopters?
Yeah.
Because I don't, Billy, you do, and you said not with great ease.
Helicopters, yeah.
Don't feel good about a helicopter, yeah. Right? Because, all right, and I'm not, believe me, this is not the day to deal with the controversy that is developing in L.A. about whether they should have cleared them to actually fly that day.
Right.
Because there is now a debate going on about that, whether he had VIP status and they cleared him where they wouldn't have cleared other people, which that's a very reckless decision if indeed they allowed him to do that.
Yeah.
But Al, here's what we're working with. JFK Jr., Jim Croce, remember the great singer, right?
Yeah.
John Denver, Otis Redding, Patsy Cline, Ricky Nelson, Aaliyah, all right? I'll go through some of the other ones. Roy Halladay, Corey Lytle, Payne Stewart, Thurman Munson, the entire 14 members of the University of Evansville basketball team, Roberto Clemente, of all the people, Roberto Clemente, probably the closest to this story, because truly an elite among the elite dies at 38 years old trying to bring relief to Nicaragua. Al, isn't it time to look at that and say, maybe I shouldn't be getting in that plane or getting in that helicopter? That's a lot of famous people, all small aircraft. No?
I don't know. I never have a qualm about it. I always trust the pilot. And I assume if you're going to take off that they've done it enough. I do know that if you're a celebrity, at times, they'll try to...
But that's terrible. They're giving you clearance that they might not give someone else.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. Well, it's the it cuts both ways.
Preferential treatment. Yeah. John, sometimes. Would you do it? Do you have any reluctance?
I would never, ever get on a small plane or a helicopter.
You would not.
I absolutely
see, that's
would
me.
Not.
I had a panic attack when I got on a plane I thought was too small a couple of months ago.
I realized the chances are so minute, but that's
still
enough for me.
But when I was at Illinois State, we had hours that the booster had given us for recruiting or scouting. And
right. It
was a little single-engine Malibu plane and be a pilot. And I would sit in the co-pilot seat, and a lot of times he would take off and give me control and say, fly to that point, and
all right, that doesn't sound like a great idea at all.
But it gave me more confidence in flying because he would let me like get it down to about 1,000 and he would land it.
So. Yeah, I'm just telling you guys. I know it, but the Roy Halladay thing still haunts me.
Yeah, but
now
he
there's
was,
a new one.
He was executing maneuvers that were not safe.
Yeah. I agree, but you know why he was doing that? Because he felt comfortable that he would be able to. And then his number came up. Horrible.
A lot of times athletes have this invincibility that they believe.
That is so
when
true.
How they play the
that
game.
That makes it more reckless.
When they play the game, they play with an invincibility in court. They believe they can accomplish things. And And that allows them sometimes to accomplish those things because they have this utter belief in their abilities.
Johnson, I have more respect for you now that you're with me on the small aircraft. Oh, Al is on the line. Hi, Al. Good morning.
Morning.
Al, good morning. Did you see Kobe in high school? Tell me your reminiscences of Kobe.
I saw that Lower Merion was playing St. Anthony's, coached by the Hurley brothers, and their father was the coach. The game was at St. Joe's Fieldhouse. And I remember Kobe was playing point guard, and he brought the ball up to half court. And when he got past half court, he got down on one knee and continued dribbling like he was the field general, surveying the field, the defensive field. And that I thought that was sort of cocky, and I thought
I don't like – even Billy tried to hedge on the cock. Just because he passed away doesn't change his demeanor. It was a cocky demeanor. It's the reason he was great. He had a huge ego. He believed he was better than everybody else, and, in fact, he was.
Yeah. And a lot of times it takes that ability. I just say that he was overly confident because sometimes people take hockey as arrogance.
Well, this is the thing. We're learning today. Yeah. He wasn't really like that. Yeah. But he had that demeanor on the court, which I think might have even helped him to intimidate some players that went, I can't play with this guy.
And a lot of great ones are very different players on the court than they are off the court.
Yeah. See, that part, we don't often know unless you have that exposure to him in a different light. Al, do you believe it happened? I'm still struggling with believing it.
I was shocked when I found out. Because my mind was on Kobe over the weekend, having watched Saturday night, the L.A. Lakers game, and thinking
LeBron.
About Kobe. And I was thinking about rehearsing in my mind what I just said to you about Kobe playing against. So it's a shock. Then yesterday afternoon, I get out of my car and I'm going to a family affair, and my son hollers a half a block away, Kobe died.
See that and this is one of those things that you'll remember where you were when he passed away. Because it kind of is an imprint in your brain. 888-729-9494. We come back. John Kincaid did one of the very first interviews, if not the first, Al, after Kobe and Shaq had patched things up. He's going to give us some great insights. And then at 9:30, the Hall of Fame coach, Larry Brown, will be joining us. What was it like to strategize against Kobe Bryant? That's all coming up. Don't leave. WIP Sports Time, 8:57.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.